Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, taking care of over 800 student athletes at Penn State, and that's over 31 sports. With us today, as usual, at the beginning of the week, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. Mike, week two, we got through another week, a 34-0 game. But I tell you what, Mike, we've been doing this show now for months together, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's all fun and games. This week going to be a little bit different. I actually have a work assignment for you this week.
Let me hear it.
You have to talk Penn State fans off the ledge for those who are worked up because it was merely 34-0 win.
I get it. I think that's just college football, right? We're just these days more than ever it's just very knee jerk, right? You want to either crush your team or love your team. It's got to be a 69, 70-point win versus teams like this. But, and you know, I think there's a mad science to this, you know, especially at these early games that we talked about. You know, coach is going to be able to rotate a ton of players. He's going to be able to get in a ton of players to get experience for those games when we reach the whiteout game, and then we have to go through conference play. So not everything's going to be picture perfect from the beginning, but that's part of the season. You know, coach talks about getting better, 1-0 every week, and you got to go along with that and be excited about the Chaz Colemans and all these younger players that are playing. Devontae Ross coming back, you know, getting more reps and looking good. We weren't on full rhythm on offense, but a lot of it has to do with that, with all those young players playing. So I would not get worried, and I'd still be happy about this win. We went in there unscathed, came out, you know, pretty healthy. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for more. You know, there's a lot on tape that you can correct, and that's what you want at the beginning of the season. The coaches are here, you know, right now. They've been here grinding, getting things fixed. So, this isn't the coach's first rodeo. He's got a process to this, I wouldn't be worried. So I don't know if that talks to the fans off the ledge, but, I can be a victim to it too as well when it comes to being knee-jerk and all that. But I think, as I've been in the actual building as a career, I've learned to not do that. But we're in a lot better place than 100-plus other schools in the country. So let's be happy. Let's move on. Let's take the positives from here. The negatives that the fans seem to really talk about, those things will get fixed, right? So let's talk about the positives, Jim.
All right, well, we'll get to, and there were a lot of positives. And speaking of positives, before we even get into game analysis, as executive director over at Happy Valley United, there's a couple things that are under your control or you handle. One of them is the 50-50 operation that goes on the games. I know they put it up on the big board, but there's a lot of people who I don't think they're even aware of it or even know what it's about. Could you just real quick tell the fans about it and how that could be helpful to the operation?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really kind of a fun project for us to kind of revamp and get going. You know, we added more sellers this year. We actually went and shadowed the Eagles last year. That Thursday night game, it was they played the Redskins. Big game. It was awesome. But I reached out to them and they invited us and they were great. So we just shadowed their whole process, their structure. And so we're really trying to do the same thing, because what people don't really understand, and I didn't understand this too going into it, is there's these gambling laws and it's state to state. So here, you know, we have certain limits and restrictions. You know, there's no online selling of tickets, which we hope to get changed in the future. But, you know, we have some limitations. So I wanted to follow them and see how do they do so well. And, it was really good. So we're taking a lot of what they did or do with the Eagles at a, you know, I think it's like 70,000 capacity at the link. And you know, their jackpot is well over 100,000 each game. And wow. I think this past Thursday night home opener, I think it eclipsed 300,000. So and that's great. Wild. And it's for a good cause for all you Philly fans and Eagles fans, which I'm starting to become a big Eagles fan because the Browns stink. But the cause that they raise it for is the Autism Foundation. So I think that was really – I think it's really neat, just everything. So here, you know, the cause is, you know, this – the money, half the money that – half the money goes to the winner. All right, obviously everybody knows that. And then the other half, it goes right back to athletics. And not just football, but all athletes. So it's really important that we support – the 50-50, buy a $10 ticket, you get 20 tickets and get a chance to win. And, you know, if you don't win, at least you contributed to the football team and the Olympic sports and every other sport on this, you know, that we have here at Penn State. So, yeah, if we're going to keep pushing that and hope you guys, you know, see our sellers and contribute to that cause.
And so this is done at the game, so it'll happen again next week against Villanova. If someone wants to buy a chance for the 50-50, is there an easy way to find one of the folks who's selling?
So we'll have sellers at each gate, other than gate A, because we learned that students that are coming through gate A are not going to buy a raffle ticket.
Remember our days as students. There was not if we had an extra $10, there were other ways to invest it, Mike.
Yeah, I remember circling the stadium last week. I'm like, oh man, my poor sellers. This, you know, this girl, this little intern girl. I was like, oh my gosh, she's getting pummeled over there. So we got the heck out of there. So you'll see all the sellers at all the other gates, and then you'll also see about 8 to 10 sellers inside the gates on the west section and east section. And then you'll also see 4 sellers on top in the on the main concourse level, kind of on each corner. And then you'll also see some sellers in the premium areas, that new Bud Light area that we have around Gate F. We'll have a couple sellers in the suites on suite level 1 and 2. And then we'll also have sellers, about 4 or 5 sellers in the Mount Nittany Club. So you'll be able to see them. And yeah, you'll definitely have a chance to get in. You won't have to move far to find a seller if you want to do that.
I hope everyone contributes and realizes, hey, this is how you differentiate in this world that we now live in.
Yeah, and let me add this. So we want to compete, one of the core values, right? So Ohio, that state right over next to us, okay, they have different laws, right? So they're allowed to sell online come the week of that game. So like that's a huge advantage that I don't think a lot of people, and it really hit me when like we were taking on this initiative that I'm like, they get to sell all week. Like that's a huge advantage. So hopefully we can take advantage because we have some of the best fans in the country and 107K that come every week, plus another 150,000 outside. So let's take advantage of this and help and bring back to our students.
Let's do that. All right. Hey, let's move on to the game itself. Drew Aller himself said this was not his best game, and I think the numbers bear that out. I think what happens sometimes, a quarterback it's just not his day. I don't think this was Drew Aller's day, but in a game, it's so sensitive. You only have so many possessions. And if you don't do it on third down, that one incompletion, make it on third down, that's the end of a possession. And I believe this team was 3 of 12 on third down. And I'm sure you, myself, our listeners could point out a couple of those situations where that third down conversion probably should have happened but didn't, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I think from my standpoint, and all honestly, like what I think you know, contributed to, you know, Drew having not his, you know, typical game was some of the shots that he took that we didn't see last year. Right. So you gotta kind of take that and say, okay, this is a positive. We're starting to take shots. Right. But we really didn't do that last year because we didn't have, you know, a room like we do now at the receiver room. All right. Now some of those shots didn't work. Right. We weren't able to pull them down. There was a couple to Kyron. There was some more to Devontae, which is good. You got to look at that as a positive. Okay. But now the timing wasn't there. Like, that's good that we got that out of the way. So now down the line, there's going to be better timing and rhythm between the quarterback and some of these guys that are going to be on those vertical routes. So we didn't get that. But now we're, what, second and 10 or, you know, third and 10 or whatever. It's, you know, it kind of throws off the rhythm. Whereas if he did catch it, it's a huge play and we're scoring. And now we're not talking about how stale the offense looked yesterday. We're talking about, wow, we made these huge plays. You know, so it's just it's those little things that will give us over the hump. But I'm excited to see those shots. And I think Drew, if he had a couple of those throws back, he would, you know, do it again. He put a little more under him. But then you saw the touchdown to Devontae, and these guys that we have are going to be able to make those 50-50 catches. So the fact that Drew trusts them to throw them up there like that is a good thing.
It definitely is, and I think it's also, you're not going to go through, well, a 12-game regular season without having a game or two that, you can look across the country and there were teams and, you know, talk to Florida fans today and see how they're feeling.
Congrats to USF, though.
Yes, and you know, some of those Florida teams, I think you and I were just starting to chat about it a little bit. They may be not even, they don't get the first choice of players or the second or maybe the third. But if you're getting even the fourth and fifth choice in Florida, you're going to get some players. So that's what I think. And, you know, I'm older than most of our listeners, but there was a time when Central Florida was a nobody, but they took advantage of local recruiting. They became a solid program. South Florida, a few years back, there was a time they were ranked in the top five at one point late in the season.
Yeah, that's right.
So there are some of those teams. They're better players than you think. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for the team. I'm a victim, too, of this. A lot of folks now, the point spread is so prominent now. Everybody knows it. And if the point spread's 43 and you don't win by 43, you underperformed. Okay. That's it. Because someone somewhere has established.
That's the baseline. Yeah.
That's the over under on whether you performed well or not. And by the way, those guys who set those are pretty good at it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So let's pick up after this break, Mike, because I do want to talk about some of those individuals that did perform very well. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. It's quarter two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He's executive director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, before we get started in segment two, I did want to ask you about one other thing going on with Happy Valley United. We're only a couple weeks away from the whiteout. And here's what's interesting to me. We're talking about, you know, fans being disappointed. In fact, there is no way to overperform in these first three games, okay? There's just no way to do it. I'm speaking from a fan's perspective. I don't care what the team does these first 3 weeks, I'm not going to be impressed because they either underperform or, well, of course, they won big. Look who they were playing. So anyway, I'm already preparing for the whiteout game in a few weeks against Oregon. That's when the season really starts, okay? So yeah. I know 1-0 every week. I know we're just thinking Villanova. I know. I'm already thinking about Oregon, okay? So humor me. That week for the whiteout, HVU, you're having a whiteout event, right?
Yeah, I believe it's going to be the third one, if not the fourth one that we put on. It's the night before the whiteout game. So September 26th, we'll have a whiteout party, which Wendy Hoover, who is part of the HVU team, does a fantastic job putting this together. For people that know about it or been to it, please go to our website, look at the registration site for it, see if it's something you'd like. It's going to be fun. You know, we'll have music, we'll have DJ Richter there, we'll have the Valvita there. We're going to have a ton of Letterman there, a ton of alumni there. Last year was my first time, and we had it at the Nittany Lion Inn, and it was a great event because Wendy puts on like really, she doesn't shortcut anything like at all. And so it's a really good high end type of event, and the people there are just so excited. They're all Penn Staters. You're going to see a ton of former alumni, and it's just good. So if you haven't checked it out, please go check it out and buy tickets. And I'll see you there.
Is it at the Nittany Lion Inn again this year?
It's going to be at the Top Trees this year.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I did attend last year's event, Mike.
That was your first year too, just like me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That was my first year ago. First of all, any event, and this is my personal bias, I start with the food. The food was excellent.
Oh, that's good.
The coolest part was the auctioning off of like signed footballs. And I think Trace was there, and if you won, you got to catch the ball from, he'd pass it to you, so you get to catch a pass from Trace McSorley.
Yeah,
that to me was the absolute coolest thing.
Yeah, we probably had like 20 some Letterman there last year, and a lot of them for me, and I had just gone back into the fold back here. It was so awesome to see all those guys because a lot of them were guys from when I was here from 2015 to 2017. So. Yeah, I guess it just made that event that much more special for me.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. So mark your calendars, check it out. Go to happyvalleyunited.com, and you'll be able to get all the details of it. What it does, too, what I like is it makes it a full weekend then, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a night game. You're going to spend Saturday tailgating. I know I will. That's an all-day tailgate, okay? It's the best. Yep. And then it just starts your weekend on Friday night, makes it even better. All right, let's talk more about this game. And you talked about, you know, there were some really good individual performances. So I started by asking about Drew Aller not having his best game. But I think we saw some things from the receivers. And, you know, based on our conversation last week, which was the first time you and I reviewed a game together, you looked at one of the statistics, which is one of my favorites when talking about specific receivers, and that's not just how many receptions they had, but how many times were they targeted. So some of these numbers, I love this. Kyren Hudson targeted 7 times, 5 catches. Devontae Ross targeted 3 times, 3 catches. And Luke Reynolds, 9 targets, 7 catches. Let me offer up this first on Luke Reynolds. I got the feeling this weekend was Luke Reynolds' coming out party that everyone, I think even on the team, the coaches, we've got a real weapon here. And I think Drew Aller decided, okay, I don't have Tyler Warren anymore, but I do have Luke Reynolds.
Yeah. And I will say this too, though, like everybody here knows the talent that we have with Luke, especially, you know, the entire offseason, what he's done and how he's developed. Like we know what we have with him. The issue is how do we spread the ball and utilize him and maximize him with the Dinkins? Like to me, in my notes, one thing that keeps continuing to pop up to me is how well-rounded Dinkins is and how legit he is. So the combination between him and Dink and Rapelier coming on, it's just hard to get all these guys the ball with Katron, Nick, Trevor, Kyron, Devontae. You can't feed everybody. But I to your point, Jim, I love seeing Luke out there. Luke is probably one of my favorite players here. If I was back in college, we'd probably be friends, kind of just a football guy, meathead guy. Like, love him. Love him. All that, like, NIL stuff, like, all he doesn't care about that stuff. He just wants to play football. He's kind of like a Tyler Warren, but he's, like, really athletic. What's cool about him, and I think so with Dink, is they're able to make people miss. I think on a lot of those catches – he made that first defender miss, which is great. And then he was able to get some yak yards, which was awesome. So, yeah, it was a good game to see him get in a groove a little bit. And he's going to have a big year for us.
Well, I really believe so. And, you know, you talked about Khalil Dinkins being an all-around player. It seemed like there were a couple of those big runs by the running backs where a tight end was in motion, not always Dinkins, but it was Luke Reynolds in motion and leading the play, leading the blocking.
Yeah, because those guys, they're not taught. There's not a guy in that room because I brought up three tight ends, Dinkins, Rapier, and Luke. There's still, like, there's three other really talented guys even underneath them. Those guys, and they're all kind of in the same mold. They're not just receivers. They're not just big blockers like I was back in the day. I couldn't run worth of crap. So these guys can do it all. And that's kind of what Colton Nickey's offense kind of demands, that you need to be an all-around tight end to play in this offense.
And the things that stuck out to me, like with Luke Reynolds, obviously, you know, catching the ball, but as you pointed out, yards after the catch, he broke tackles, and that breaking the tackle is what provided the first down. You know, if you catch the ball on third down, but you're short of the first down, it's kind of like, so what?
Right.
But you make the play, you make someone miss, or you run them over.
Yeah. More likely. Yeah. Or another good example was early in the game when there was some pressure on Drew, and Drew just had to chuck it. And where did he go? He went to Luke. Right. So he trusted Luke, and it was a contested catch. And Luke has very, very good hands, and he was able to bring down that catch. But that's just going to continue to trust with Drew, to that he's going to be able to trust a guy like Luke. Man, when I'm in trouble, I can trust this guy.
Well, and I think that's what I saw and what I think we will see going forward. Because, again, looking at the number of targets, Luke Reynolds was targeted the most of anybody. He had 9 targets in this game. And I just got the feeling that Drew Aller, it's like, okay, I know I can go there and rely on him, mm-hmm. which is a very good trait and a very good indicator that Luke Reynolds is going to keep getting the targets. I do want to continue the conversation about the blocking from the tight ends, but also the wide receivers. I think it was on the long run from Katron Allen. Here was Kyron Hudson all the way down the field, still making blocks. And I don't know if it was James or another coach who talked about, you know, the really big plays, it's often a wide receiver. The running back might get the first 15 or 20 yards, but it's that wide receiver block that turns that 20-yard run into a 50-yard run.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, it's funny when you're any wide receivers coach in the country, they teach them this, right? They tell them this, these big runs, these explosive plays that coaches want, they're because of the, you know, once it gets to that level, it's usually because of the wide receivers. But it's hard to find wide receivers that can do that and also be good in the passing game. So we're really lucky. Coach does a really good job with those guys. And, you know, he's not on the target list. And that's number 2 who started, and that's Cliff. But I to me, he popped out on film when it came to being that unselfish player, blocking his butt off for his teammates, even though he didn't get a target yesterday. So I was happy to see that.
Well, also, this goes back to the number of weapons they have. You were talking about the tight ends. Forget the rest of the talent. We're going to see three tight ends in every game, okay? We're going to see three tight ends playing.
Yeah.
We have, in the wide receiver room, the big three transfer portal guys. You mentioned Liam Clifford as another guy. And don't forget, we have not one but two star running backs who, and I know after mentioning all of these weapons, it's not fair of me to say this, but I want to see them throw the ball to those two running backs more, okay? But I also want more to go into the tight ends. I want more. And to your point, you just can't satisfy everyone, but there truly are that many weapons.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. The old school run the ball down your throat guy, he's not gonna want to see that ball in the air. He's gonna want to see those two running backs and our great offensive line, right? Then you got these new generation kids that just want to see points and airing it out, air raid, all that stuff. They don't want to see the running the ball. They want big explosive plays. So yeah, it's hard to make everybody happy, Jim.
Well, you got to at least start with that. Okay, I've got that many weapons, so I've got that many different choices. And you know, the mad scientist offensive coordinator, he could decide three wide receivers, three tight ends, two running backs. He can mix and match to his heart's desire.
Yeah, I love the pre-snap motions that he does. I mean, it looks so confusing. I don't know how he coaches them up to do all that and be buttoned up with it. Like, that's it. It's really neat that we have that and the flexibility and the ability that coach has to put out different looks. And was it the first play that he did? I was the first play he did, right? Put Emotion Drew out to wide receiver, brought in Nick at quarterback.
K-Tron.
K-Tron at running back. Yeah. Or at quarterback. That's a good thing for us.
It really is. Okay, we got lots more to go. Stick around. We'll be back right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. It's quarter number three of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. And Mike, you were talking about like the very first play call. It was Drew went in motion. Katron Allen took the direct snap. And it's funny, in the press box, they have someone doing the, like I call it a voiceover, who's just sort of announcing in the press box. You know, when the teams come out, so-and-so is at quarterback. So Penn State comes out on the field with Drew Aller at quarterback. Correction, Katron Allen starting at quarterback, you know. But I do have a question for you on that specific play, and this is probably a dumb question from a fan. I think they actually – I don't know if on the first play Drew went in motion, but the two of them shifted. Drowler moved over so Katron could take the direct snap. When you run a play with the Wildcat or a direct snap like that to a running back, instead of the two players in motion, one, you know, moving over, Drowler moving so Katron Allen could take the snap and move over, wouldn't it be better to just, when you come out of the huddle, So instead of indicating to the defense you're moving, you know, the two, it becomes obvious what's happening. If you just come out, Drew standing behind a guard but still acting like the quarterback, and, you know, Katron is behind center. Now, maybe that's a dumb question from a fan who's, you know, so far away in the stands. Maybe it's obvious on the team, but I think it might be a little more deceptive that way.
Yeah, well, maybe we should get a meeting with you and Colt Nicky because, hey, you're proven now, right? I mean, you say, hey, I think we should get the lineman a ball, right? And then I think you talked to him, and then you saw it at practice, and then now it happened. So obviously you have influence and with Coach Colt Nicky. So you're talking to the wrong guy. You got the source. So go straight to him.
I think it's more just great minds thinking alike. To fill in our fans, our listeners, like what we're talking about is I've been pushing Mike. I love Vega Ioane in motion and just crushing a linebacker or safety or something like that. But I actually, and oh, I told you I'd send it to you. I have somewhere like a screen capture where Vega is out wide, like standing all alone. I wanted a pass to go to him. And I've often said, hey, you have access to James Franklin. Would you please tell him this? And you and I have joked about it. And then a couple of weeks ago when we were at practice, they're practicing two pointers. And lo and behold, they successfully throw a pass to Drew Shelton. You looked at me, started laughing. There you go, Jim, exactly what you wanted. And the funny part to that whole story is in practice, James came out laughing also, like, okay, fine, did you get that out of your system? As if, you know, that was it. And sure enough, that very play happens that we saw in practice. So that's what Mike is talking about with my obvious influence. So, yep. So yeah, next time Andy Kotel, Nicky, and I, you know, put our heads together, I will mention that to them. All right, I just have a great football offensive mind, Mikey.
You do.
If you haven't learned that yet. So let's talk about this offense a little bit more. We had game one. It was the passing game was just fine. They struggled with the run game. Let's talk a little bit about the run game this week. That was better. We saw more explosive plays. We saw the 67-yard run from Katron Allen. Nick Singleton, he had some bigger runs. Looking at the stats, a long run of 16 yards. He averaged almost 6 yards a carry. Allen averaged 9 yards a carry for a total of 144 yards. What did you see different in the running game? Did you see a difference in the offensive line's work this week?
Not so much with the offensive line. I thought they were aggressive. They were playing hard. Nothing different with the offensive line to me. More so it was like when the decisions of the running backs when they were getting to the second level and then working off of those downfield blocks like the Kyron block and the the Liam Clifford block and like those decisions working off of their blocks and then turning those second level 10-yard plays into big explosive plays is what made the difference to me, or at least that's what I saw in film. And I think there was other plays where the running back could probably have fit off of like a Dinkins block to maybe get 5-10 or maybe even hit the home run. So that's good that you're seeing it, but I think there's still even room for improvement there. But and that's going to come.
Yeah, I saw there seemed to be a couple times where Nick may have been able to bounce it outside. And it could have possibly with his speed, it doesn't take much. All of a sudden he's down the sideline for a big game, but it was much improved. It was the passing game, which we had talked about, that was a little different. Let's hit on some of the things that you started the show with, Mike, was some of the young guys performing, and Chaz Coleman, one of your personal favorites, a couple months ago in the summer, we were talking about the freshmen, and I pretty much went through everyone. It was pretty late that I said, and Chaz Coleman, and your eyes just lit up. Oh my God, Jim, am I glad you brought him up. So you were the first one that I know of that was on the Chaz Coleman train. Most people will want to talk about the play very late, the strip sack. He picks it up. He looks like a running back going down the field. But he was making his presence felt long before that play. Pressure on the quarterback, beating his man. He was – speaking of coming out parties, we need to know about Chaz Coleman.
Yeah, I mean, the stat line, I mean, he's right there with Denai, right? Four tackles. He had one sack. Everybody's, you know, seen two tackles for loss, you know, and then he had two quarterback hurries. I thought it was pretty impressive. I don't know if you guys remember the play when there was some substitution questions. Both sidelines are going crazy, and then he comes in to sub for Malachi, number 20. And then there was some confusion, but didn't mess him up. Because he was able to make a move, get inside of the tackle, and then get to the running back for a TFL. He's so special. It's really cool to see him kind of getting elevated. And like Coach talks about all the time, he's like 248, 249, and he still looks skinny. I'm obviously from that area where he came from, so like, I have bias. I always have, but I honestly thought he's been really good. But to this level, I didn't think he was going to come out because it's just not normal for a player that just got here in the summer with no offseason training with the team to come in here and basically demand the playing time based off of his athleticism and his play. You don't see it around the country. And not just that, though. You know how Coach Franklin and just like a lot of teams in the country don't allow their freshmen to speak to the media? Wait till you guys get to see this kid and get to know him. He is an unbelievably humble kid, very good. I don't think this stardom and all this hype about him has got to his head. So I'm excited for people to get to know the real Chaz Coleman, not just Tasmanian Chaz Coleman. But my biggest takeaway from yesterday and moving forward as a positive is the D-line depth. I think this D-line is going to carry us through the whole season. And okay, let's be all upset about not finishing a couple red zone plays or not scoring 100 points. Okay, but let's get excited about being able to play all these younger players, getting Chaz Coleman reps last week early and then this week and allow him to continue to develop. But we also saw, you know, Alonzo Ford with an interception. We got Zariah Fisher back. And to me, the first one, like the first two plays I saw Zariah play, I was like, oh, he looks good. His get off looks really good. He's gonna really contribute like he was supposed to. So him, you know, obviously Denai and Durant. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but one of the first series, Coach Knowles put Durant at end. And then another series down the line, we had Anai, who was, you know, has transitioned to the defensive tackle position. And then we had Denai, Dennis Sutton at a defensive tackle position because Coach Knowles, with all this talent and the development, he's allowed to mix these guys up and be very versatile. But I mean, you had Xavier Gilliam that we don't talk about a lot, Alonzo Ford, Chaz Coleman's all obviously getting all the hype and well deserved. But seeing Anai White coming in and getting a sack is huge, especially for him and his confidence moving forward. Ty Blanding, Harvey, Yvon, Wayful even got it in the game yesterday. And then you guys saw Malachi Williams in there. All these guys, that's a huge rotation for us. And it's just not defensive ends and rush specialists. You know, we have the beef inside. We have the versatility to move these guys inside, outside. I think this D-line is special. And to a Penn State fan, the D-line is usually special every year, but I think this one is a little bit different.
Well, I think the concern going in wasn't the front line. It was the depth. You have two superstars, Zane Durant and Denai Dennis Sutton. Okay, that's a great foundation to start with. But the defensive line, the team has year after year rotated. They don't have two defensive ends. They have four. They don't have two defensive tackles. They usually have five or six. And we question that. And some of those names that you mentioned already are changing the conversation. And Chaz Coleman may be front and center, but some of the people like Xavier Gilliam, you know, people don't talk about him. Alonzo Ford is back. Zariah Fisher, all of a sudden, when we were questioning depth, we don't have to question that anymore.
You know, knock on wood, let's stay healthy. But heck, I couldn't be more excited about a D-line in recent history. And let's look at – let's. Maybe I'm a defensive guy at heart. I don't know. But the offense, like, yeah, look at past national championship teams. Go back, you know, from now to 20 years. There, you can argue it is consistent that every team has a dominant defensive line, right? And sometimes on the other end of the ball, you know, there's a stud quarterback, there's a Burrow, there's somebody, but not always. But you can always count on it that defensive line for that national championship team is a problem and consistent throughout the year.
And, you know, we've talked over the years that after quarterback, the toughest recruit is that dominant defensive tackle because there's only so many of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, that is going to have to be it for this segment. We've got one more quarter to go. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim. He's Mike. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United. And you know, Mike, we talked earlier about some of the things that you're involved in with the whiteout event. But there's also something interesting. This was the Thon game, which is just a tremendous part of being Penn State is more than just football. Thon being the run by the students, it's one of the great events that should make every Penn Stater proud.
Yeah, I think people that don't know Penn State and the Thon initiatives that they do every year get to know it. It's special. It's really what makes Penn State special. The type of kid that goes to Penn State because they're just not coming here to party, get an education. They're trying to make a difference in the community. And you know, the Thon initiative and what they do is awesome. And so, yeah, yesterday, you know, that the student section had the yellow ribbon and it looked really cool. But it's just awesome that, you know, the football program and the community could see that and bring awareness to it.
It is. And again, as you pointed out, it's one of the things that makes Penn State special. And it's much more than just, you know, as fans, as Penn State alums, there's more to be proud of with this university. There's so many things. And, you know, one of the things when I explain to people what it's like to attend Penn State as a student or even go back as an alum, it's a big university, but it's like the small town feel, not just State College, but the students themselves who attend, you know, it's like in Philadelphia, there's 5-10 more schools in Philadelphia to go to. But for those of the rest of us who are in the rest of the state of Pennsylvania, Penn State is the home team, but it still has the feel of the small town. So a lot of good things that come out, and I'm glad you brought up the Thon. All right, let's go back to the game itself. We were talking about the defensive line. I could tell you're really psyched up about it. Mike, what might be the most impressive thing is two games in, the defensive tackles already have two interceptions.
Yeah. You know what's cool? After I met you at the tailgate, I was dropping some stuff at my car or my truck, and I was going back to the golf cart, or I was carting back to the stadium. There I go. I run into old Jim Galani. So me and Jim get a talking, and then I take back off, and then I ran past the players were coming out, and then Lonzo Ford's grandparents and family needed a ride back. So I said, yeah, just hop on. So I got to talk to them. Obviously they were really excited, and I'm kind of running all over the place doing the 50-50, trying to take care of my interns in a couple of different areas, and so I didn't even see it. And so when they told me, I'm like, get out of here. He's a transfer from ODU. I've lived in Virginia and recruited that area a ton. So I was like, I was really excited for them, them being from the Richmond area. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, Zoe has two. It was kind of like the Sandlot though, too. This was a little different than Zane Durant's, where Zane had to bend down, make like a really athletic catch for a 300-pound kid. This one was kind of like the Sandlot when they said, hey, Smalls, just put your glove up. I'll put it in there. It's not like that to me. But, no, it was good to see Zoe pull that in. And I don't know. Zoe, I wish, could, get some more some pub, because, like, when you talk to him, he's a humble kid. Very appreciative, very well mannered, I was just really happy for him.
That is great. I get excited anytime a defensive lineman could get his hands on the ball.
Wish he had more room to run, because that's when it's fun. When it's fun, that you see this big rumbling, stumbling refrigerator or keg kind of, and people don't know how to tackle them. You got to, like, maybe a little receiver making business life decisions if they want to tackle the big guy. Or get out of the way, yeah. Stay down.
It is one of the great things, and watching Chaz Coleman with the strip sack, pick up the ball and run. It's why, Mike, I keep saying, put it in James Franklin's ear. I want to see the offensive lineman catch passes. I love that. I want to see more of it. But, Mike, if we're talking about big guys performing in athletic ways, how about our new punter? Lord. James told us, okay? He told us Gabe Wosu punting the ball could be, I don't want to say game changer, but could really turn around field position. We saw it. And that punt, like, you're running around a lot in the stadium. But, as soon as the ball got off his foot, there was an audible gasp from the crowd.
It's like, that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I got to see it, obviously, after the game. I kind of break down the film a little bit. And when that thing pops off his foot, it kind of reminds me of the guy I play with, Pat McAfee. Like, that thing is just flies. I think the one that he had was 72, some 72, something crazy. But so, like, to your point, I did not see the game. But initially I look at the stat lines, right, after coaches post-game conference. And so then I used to be a special teams coordinator, so I kind of, like, my eye gets triggered to the average of the punt. And then I saw that, and at 53.3, I'm like, whoa, what? That's crazy. And this is before I even, saw the film. And then I'm like, oh, that, we got something special there. And then, obviously coach brought him up in the post-game conference. So, yeah, we're that winning the field position battle, and then AC making that play to pin him deep. Within the one was a really athletic play. I think it was AC either pinned it or he was the one that kept it from going into the end zone.
Yeah. And by the way, that was Wosu's punt in the situation where we don't need a 60 yarder. We need you to drop it there. It was a perfect punt. You don't always get the perfect result. One more bounce and it would have been in the end zone. But he did his job perfectly there. I want to bring up another individual play, and I think this is a guy who, for you and I both, it's a one of our favorite guys on the team, and that's Dom DeLuca with the block kick. And what was funny is during the game, he's good friends with Landon Tengwall, and Landon and I always used to just talk. He just makes plays. That's what Dom DeLuca does. I texted Landon when it happened, and I just said, number zero just makes plays. The plays find him somehow. And there was another example, Mike.
Yeah, because every time we talk about Dom, we talk about how smart he is and what a good football player he is, right? And that makes him kind of more luckier than not in most situations, right? Those people that are lucky or not lucky, but people that are really smart football players and have a big football IQ, they tend to be around the ball and good things usually happen. And they're able to play faster and all that. And Dom doing that on special teams is awesome. I mean, a third year captain at that linebacker position, we're really lucky to have Dom. And then you combo that with how he came about as a walk on and everything. He's kind of like a 30 for 30 story, to be honest. Another guy that, you know, you see him on the media, but when you're around him, it's just like, you could tell why he's a third year captain. Just an awesome guy to be around. And I was happy to see him. And you know what, going back to my special teams days, blocking a punt off the foot of the punter is actually a lot harder than you think. They drill it. Every team drills it. Blocking a volleyball in practice as a drill, and they go through it, take it off the foot. But it is so frustrating when you get free and you can block the kick and you don't, because you don't take it off the foot. And I thought that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, that was textbook right there. I would have put that on there, and I'd put that on clinic tape, and I would be going to conferences and talking about, this is how you take it off the foot.
Where you target it. Well, it reminds me, you mentioned, you know, facetiously saying he's lucky. Okay. It reminds me, Mike, of one of my favorite expressions. You know what the definition of luck is? Luck is when opportunity meets preparation.
That's right. That's exactly right. And yeah, don't take me saying lucky like in a bad way. It's honestly meant in the best way.
It's funny. Those who are well prepared always seem to get lucky. That's how it works. All right, we have a couple minutes left. I want to say, who did I miss? Who are the players that you saw? Because I know I made certain notes. I saw Darius Dixon was in early. Some of the others were in early. What did you see that I missed, Mike?
I think to me what's interesting is the safeties and the defensive backs playing. I think Belgrave, seeing him develop, Woseley developing in his room or in that room, AC coming on, his athleticism. I think he's a little bit more athletic than I originally thought. And not that I didn't think he was, but I think he's pretty dang athletic. And King Mack coming in and smacking the heck out of that guy on that long explosive that FIU had. Again, I think you guys know King Mack, but I saw him in the facility this week, and I was just dapping him up. Was happy for him on his return last week, and you couldn't meet a better kid. You could not meet a better kid. So seeing him do things like this and continue to build on the momentum that he had last week is going to be really big. Because again, depth is going to be the best thing for us as we keep moving forward, and then when we get into Big Ten play. So yeah, King Mack, Belgrave, his role, because I don't know if people remember, Belgrave wasn't a DB. He came in as a wide receiver. So that transition isn't always easy for a player, especially at this level. So I think that he's somebody that we should be excited about as well as. So those three are three guys to me that are kind of under the radar because they're just coming on, right? King Mack, Woseley, and Belgrave.
I'm glad you brought up King Mack. In the very play that you mentioned, I wrote myself a note. We saw how fast he was there.
Oh, yeah.
And we also saw how willing he was to hit a guy.
Oh, yeah. Those are hard to find. Because you can find one of the two, but you can't find somebody that has both.
And one last thought. This was, again, my notes from being at the game. Devontae Ross is going to return a punt for a touchdown this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I'm surprised I thought we did talk about him a little bit, but yeah, he is what we thought he was when we took him out of the transfer portal. We just got to get him healthy, keep him healthy. And I think Coach mentioned, we're a little bit ahead of the schedule with him. So that's very positive. You know, it's funny. I texted him last night because, you know, I'm going through some pictures that our content team captured yesterday. And there's such a cool picture of him when he caught that. There was two of them when he caught that 50-50 ball for a touchdown, and he kind of stands over him. You know, and it reminded me of the Gladiator. Like, are you not entertained?
That's going to have to be the last word. Thank you, Mike. Make sure the rest of you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.